Glory to God forever. Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Humans were born to fellowship with God, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus. Amen. Lord, send out laborers into the harvest fields and to Indonesia and the countries around Indonesia, Malaysia and Myanmar and Thailand, you know, several hundred, you know, 200-400 million people in that region. In Jesus' name, amen. And I bless those listening to this podcast. I believe with them you'll reveal your glory to them. I believe with them for their healing if they need healing. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Wonder and Reality. My name is Jim. This is Easter season. This is going to air hopefully March 19th. Easter season coming up on where we remember Jesus' passion, his sacrifice, his crucifixion and resurrection, his death, him dying for the world. Amen. Such a glorious revelation of God's love for the world. So one thing I want to focus on, and this is within this series about heaven, believe it or not, in this series about heaven, I think it's fine to give some content and messages about the whole theme, all the themes of the Easter season, of Jesus' passion and his resurrection. Because Jesus came from heaven. He's in heaven now. He's, you know, this is all part of God's plan, of course. But I want to just focus on something. The opposition that Jesus faced in his 3 years of ministry, specifically at the end of his ministry. You know, everyone knows these things, right? These are some of the most famous events in world history. Most Christians and Catholics know all about this, but there's some new things I'm learning I just want to share with you. And the theme is that that part of Jesus' sacrifice, okay, there's a phrase that angels gave to a pastor in the United States. They literally visited him at his home. Okay, it's all in the book, Angels on Assignment by Roland Buck. He's the pastor. And they told him, they used the phrase, the sacrifice of Jesus. And it's all in that book. I didn't come up with that phrase, the sacrifice of Jesus. They said, and related to that, one of the things they said is, you can never comprehend God's love because it's too great. And these are just wonderful things. And let me just step back for a second and just say, Jesus is alive. Amen. He's alive today. Yes, we know that he died for the world, that he suffered, he endured his passion. And the angels emphasized to Roland Buck that for all eternity, Jesus will be honored for his sacrifice when he was a man on the earth. And, you know, they emphasized that. They even though, you know, at the same time, what I also have learned from people like Reinhard Bonnke and many others, yes, we know Jesus died, but he's alive today. We can celebrate today, celebrate Jesus Christ, celebrate the gospel and salvation. It's a glorious celebration. So we don't need to be, you know, we should stand back in awe and wonder at Jesus' passion. Amen. And so I don't want to get all, you know, that's just something I want to emphasize. But another thing is just the opposition that he faced, that I'm going to mention a few, just touch on a few things. just so that, you know, what my theme is, that's another, what I'm going to speak about, it's all in the Bible. That's another aspect of his sacrifice. And here's the specifics. Very close to his passion, at the end of those his 3 years of ministry, we have recorded in Matthew 16 that the famous time when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men, I think this is a paraphrase, but he said, who do men say that I am? Who do they, you know, he was saying the public, who do they say that I am? Okay, and then the disciples answered, and then he said, who do you say that I am? Okay, this is the basis for what I'm going to say. Close to that time, I believe it was before he asked those questions, and again, that's privately to his disciples, he gave the bread of life passage. Teaching, discourse is what it, famous, one, it's this longest I am teaching, it's very, and after that, so that was also apparently near the end of his 3 years of ministry. And let me say, I'm not an expert. I don't want to be a scholar. I don't want to, you know, but I after being a Christian for as long as I have, you know, that I actually did not really realize, I'm embarrassed to say, that the bread of life passage, it was near the end of his ministry. Okay, now back to what the, and it's important, the reason I'm emphasizing that it was near the end of his ministry and close to his passion. Okay, right after he asked his disciples those two questions, he predicted his death and resurrection. Famous, very famous, Peter rebuked him and said, far be it from you, Lord, that this should not happen to you. Paraphrase again. So here's the opposition. First, let's just deal with the disciples. It had been 3 years of the 3 years of his ministry, and Peter says right there, I mean, we have it in writing, recorded from 2,000 years ago, Peter did not, apparently, and again, I'm just saying I could be wrong about some of these things, I just want to make an overall point. Peter did not realize Jesus was going to die in the way that he did. Okay, because Jesus predicted it right there, and Peter said, far be it from, okay, if Peter was his closest disciple, we know that, everyone knows that. If Peter felt that way, the other disciples, it's likely, we don't know, again, I could be wrong, but they likely did not believe that when Jesus told them. So it had been 3 years, and even though Jesus had given parables, you know, that said, revealed, for example, the parable where he said, finally they sent his son, you know, this to the people, and they killed him. You know, that's, again, I'm not an expert. I'm not trying to be some scholar and bring some new information to light, because thousands, tens of thousands of people in the last 2,000 years who have studied this and know the Bible infinitely greater than I ever will have studied these things. There's a timeline online that you can easily find that has 26 pages that lists, you know, it's a timeline of Jesus' public ministry. You know, 26 pages with all the dates back in that time. I mean, it's so complicated. But what I'm saying is, even his disciples who were that close to him, who left everything, followed him, knew that he was, you know, didn't realize that. I mean, Peter said right there, he didn't realize that, you know, he was like, this should not happen. Now, Peter may have just been emotional. Who knows? But, okay, another thing. We know Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus' closest disciple. Okay, the disciples all eventually betrayed him. You know, when he was dying and in this passion and everything, they all did. Even Peter denied him three times. I mean, they were probably, you know, feared for their lives. Okay? That's one area. Now let's deal with the public. Okay? In those, and again, I'm honing in on a few things because just the opposition that Jesus faced is such a vast subject. It's staggering. Like, you know, I could go on and on. I just want to present this one message, and I may do another one, but it's just incredible what he endured. Okay, let's deal with the public, okay? We have right there that Jesus said, "Who do they say that I am? Who do men say that I am?" And the disciples revealed and said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some one of the prophets." The public did not realize that he was the long-awaited Messiah. Okay? It's simple. Christ, Jesus the Christ, Christ is another word for... Well, Jesus the Christ means Jesus the Anointed One and His anointing. Messiah means that, the Anointed One. You know, there's like more than 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that there would be a Messiah who would come to the earth. And so, of course, it's publicly known. Most people know. I mean, that's a central thing in Jesus' life as a man, is that the people at that time, including the scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, the elders, the leaders, the lawyers, the religious leaders, all the people in that whole group, and the public, did not accept the fact that he was the Messiah, the Christ. I mean, that is very well known. But my point is, you know, I just want to touch on the fact that, okay, right there, the public didn't know, didn't believe, they believed he was these other things, right? Some believed he was John the Baptist, including the king. King Herod, it says right there in the Bible, it says this is John the Baptist. He believed that was John the Baptist had risen from the dead, who he had murdered. Now, there's another example of the opposition. Jesus' closest friend, right? I mean, as far as we know, I shouldn't say that. But John the Baptist is a legendary, you know, he was Jesus. I mean, it's large portions of the Bible, the New Testament, which is like the space in that, in the Gospels, is some of the most valuable, let's say, written content in human history. It is. And there's a lot devoted to John the Baptist and how important that he was, and that it was even prophesied that he would come to the earth. And he was close to Jesus. He baptized Jesus Christ. He baptized him. He was, I mean, you know, and yet John the Baptist beheaded. And when Jesus found out, it says, I believe this is a paraphrase, he went and to a place by himself. I need to take a break because I am, you know, there's so much content on this subject. It's such a, to think that the sacrifice of Jesus includes so many, there's so many, many aspects of it. And, you know, and I'm seeing new things that, of course, are right there in the Bible. But so we've got the disciples. Someone once said to me, you know, the disciples just could never... It's like, how could you not see that you know, this about Jesus? Well, I think what that person was speaking about is what I've been... that's right there in Matthew 16. Even though the disciples had been with him, you know, there was perhaps things that they did not realize. Okay, another example. I mentioned the bread of life passage earlier. Very well known that in that portion of the Bible, right after that discourse, the bread of life teaching, you might say, many of his disciples turned back and did not follow him, left him, and he asked his 12, said, are you going to leave also? Again, that's a paraphrase. There's another example of the opposition. Now, this was at the end of those 3 years, but that teaching was so revolutionary, and I've heard a patriarch of the faith teach about it. Why? I don't want to go into that, but that disciples left, and he had the 12, he had the 70, some versions say 72, but let's just say it was 70. It must have been some of those who left. I don't think it says specifically. He did have some others. We don't know exactly how many. I've done a study of that, and there's at least, you know, there's one portion where two women are mentioned, and it says many others. Doesn't say how many specifically, but there are, now, and I'm speaking of just when Jesus was alive on the earth, before his passion. I don't think the Bible reveals how many total. But, and we shouldn't assume. Now, we know that at Pentecost, that there was 120 in that room. So they were, it could be that they were getting more, you know, after Jesus died and after there was more of people who were selected that were allowed to be his disciple. I mean, to think of how special it would be to be his disciple on the earth when he was on the earth as a man. Now we can become his disciples. Amen. We can, you know, that's an opportunity we have. Every person has the opportunity to be saved, to become a follower of Jesus. The greatest thing a human being could ever do. The greatest miracle, salvation. And then there's miracles after that. If someone says, I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to go into ministry, I don't care what it costs. I don't care if I get, you know, ridiculed. I don't care what people think. You know, if they can do that, that's a miracle for them. Amen. Every step along the way with Jesus Christ is a miracle. It from glory to glory, that's one glorious revelation to another. Amen. So thank you for listening. I'm going to try to do some messages in this Easter season, but I still want to emphasize this is all part of the overall theme of heaven. And thank you for please visit our main website, wonderreality.org. Please help us by praying for this ministry. I'm still dealing with a lot of things personally. A lot of great things happening with our websites, this podcast, books, and so forth. Please, thank you so much to our wonderful followers and partners. You're the best. And please email us at hello@wonderreality.org, and blessings.